Morning, folks. How are you doing? It's Saturday morning, and you are listening to WGDR Plainfield, WGDH Hardwick, Central Vermont Community Radio, 91.1 FM on your dial, or 91.7 FM on your dial, or on demand online for up to 2 weeks at WGDR.org. Thank you for joining me. It's Saturday morning and I'm super excited. This is Amy and this is Amy's Kids Show. And boy, do we have a lot of cool stuff lined up today. I had another magical week and today is a magical day. And I was already going to be celebrating my best friend today. All right, I'm going to be celebrating my best friend today. That's what I'm going to be busy doing. And so I already had those plans and I wasn't thinking about that at all when I started planning my show. And then guess what happened as I went along? I ended up with a show that's about friends. Isn't this great? I mean, the perfect story just opened, the book opened to this perfect story that we're going to read today. And we were already talking about brains, right? For weeks, we've been learning about our brains. We learned about the reptile part at the base of our skull, that part of our brain that's always looking for food and survival and then we learned about the top part of our brain, the human brain, and that's where we can imagine things like numbers and words. And that's a very special part of our brain. But we sort of skipped the middle. Does anybody notice that? Like in between the bottom, the reptile, and the top, the human, we have another layer of brain. That's called our mammal brain to some people. And, well, what are mammals? Well, mammals include humans and all other animals that are warm-blooded vertebrates. Vertebrates have backbones or spines. Mammals also have hair. Mammals feed their young with milk and have a more well-developed brain than other types of animals. So guess what? We're mammals, and so are a lot of other creatures, too, that have hair. And so look around and see if you can find any in your house. So that's what we're going to be celebrating. And the story I picked for today, or the book picked it for me, I have to say, it's not up to me, really. The book decided on the story today, and it's perfect, guys. It's about a boy who makes a bunch of friends, and boy, does he need them. It's called Emil and the Detectives. So we'll be back together for the story in a little bit. But first, we have some music. I can't wait to dance and learn some sign language and have a great time with you guys today. Thanks for joining me. Here we go.
You are my best friend, and never sad any song you please. Click, we're in harmony. Stick to me and you'll see what a kick it is to be friends, 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 till the end. Travel where you will, I'll tag along and we'll see most of everywhere. Everyone will know that we're friends, 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 till the end. Sometimes when we feel a little bored, we play a little game, but we don't keep score. Friendship is its own reward. Fun just to play the game, win, lose, it's all the same. Who cares who really comes in first? Let's spell it out! One asks of me, you and me a team. I say we'll always be friends till the end. Friends, friends, friends till the end, till the end, till the end, till the end.
I want to be friends with you.
Well, hello, folks. I brought my clown horn here today because our story is going to have a horn in it. And I thought, you know, we should definitely have some horn sounds and things. So I brought that along with me today. Oh, there it goes again. Wow. I don't seem to have very good control over my horn here. Oh, well, it's going to come up in the story here, guys. So welcome back. This is Amy's Kids Show. Today, our story is called Emile and the Detectives. And it actually is connected. Okay, horn. All right. I think that's enough for now. We will have the horn later on. And so that's going to be a fun part of the story. So we've been learning about our brain here on Amy's Kids Show for the past few weeks. And we've learned about our reptile brain, we've learned about our human brain, and today we are learning about our mammal brain, which is right in the middle. It's the part that mammals have, and mammals, you know, like to stick together. We're very friendly creatures, and we like to take care of each other. We especially like to take care of other mammals who need help. You know, we're very helpful to each other. If anybody needs assistance, like someone who's older or someone who's younger, or someone who's sick, you know, we like to take care of each other. And you probably know that. Have you ever not felt well and you've been laying on the couch or in bed with the sniffles or something? And who comes along, right? If you have a mammal in your house, they usually want to come and snuggle with you and help you feel better. So that's kind of like a mammal thing. So this story is about Emile, and he's going to meet some new friends and say hello, hello, hello to his new friends. He's going to make lots of them really fast. This story, it says, the special charm of this story is the great particularity and seriousness with which the pursuit of the thief is handled. Considered a classic, Emile and the Detectives has been translated into nearly 30 languages and adapted for radio, television, stage, and films. Kastner, that's the author of the story, Kastner's opposition to Hitler caused his books to be banned from Germany and publicly burned by the Nazis. You know, so there's a bit of history there, folks. This author was not very popular with the Nazi government over in Germany at the time, and actually went through some serious troubles that I was just reading about here, doing a little research into him. But anyway, this is a story by called Emile and the Detectives, and Erich Kastner, who wrote it, really liked to write children's stuff. So it sounds like this one was very popular because they made movies and everything out of it. And so we're about to learn the story. I had never heard it before, so it was pretty exciting to me. This is only one chapter, so here we go. Oh, and I wanted to let you know that in Germany, at this time that the story was written, they did have telephones. They had like a public phone they could call, and they could call people's homes. But they did not have cell phones, of course, back then, when Kastner was a boy. They also had radio, and they did have movies, which they called pictures. They'd go to the pictures, right? Because it was very exciting for them to see pictures with the story. All right, so here we go. The boy with the auto horn turns up. At Trotteno Street in the corner of Kaiser Avenue, the man with the stiff hat got off the car. Emil saw him and said to the man, reading the paper, "Thank you again and again, sir," and climbed off the platform. The thief went in front of the car, crossed the tracks, and headed for the other side of the street. The car went on, and when the way was clear, Emil noticed that the man stopped, hesitated a moment, and then walked up the steps to an outdoor cafe. Now again, it was necessary to be very cautious. Like a detective that follows a clue, Emil sized up the situation, looked quickly around, and noticed a newsstand on a corner, and ran fast as he could to hide behind it. His hiding place was perfect. It lay between the stand and a post. The boy took off his cap and peeked out. The man, aka the thief, had seated himself on the terrace close to the railing. He was smoking a cigarette and seemed very pleased with himself. Emil was disgusted that a thief could be so thoroughly satisfied while the fellow who was robbed had to be so gloomy and not even know what to do. What a silly idea to hide behind a newsstand as if he himself were the thief instead of the other. What point was there in knowing that the man was sitting in the Cafe Josty on Kaiser Avenue and that he was drinking light beer and smoking cigarettes? If the fellow would get up, then the chase could go on. But if he stayed there, then Emil might hide behind the stand until he grew a long gray beard. Nothing was wanting now but for a policeman to come along and say, "My son, you look suspicious. Come, follow me of your own accord now, or I'll have to put the handcuffs on you." Suddenly, a horn tooted right behind Emil. Oh, I do have a horn sound, guys. I guess it's not going to work for the story. Anyway, I thought it would be fun to honk a horn. Maybe you can honk a horn at home, right? You know what it sounds like, right? All right. "Who honked that horn behind me?" asked Emil. "Why, me, of course. You don't come from Wilmsdorf, do you? Otherwise, you'd have known long ago that I have a horn in my pants pocket. Everyone around here knows me as well as if I were a freak. I'm from Neustadt. I just came from the train station." "From Neustadt, eh? That's why you've got such a goofy suit on. Take that back, or I'll give you one that'll lay you out cold." "Shucks, man," said the boy with the horn cheerfully. "Are you cross? The weather's too excellent for fighting, but it's okay with me." "We'll tend to that later," declared Emil. "I haven't any time for such stuff now." and he looked across at the cafe to see if the Grundy thief was still sitting there. "I thought you had all the time in the world. Get behind a newsstand with his bag and then start to play hide-and-go-seek with himself. A fellow must have 10 or 20 yards of time left over to do that." "No," said Emil. "I'm watching a thief."
"What?
Did I understand the first time?" said the other with the horn. "Who did he swipe from?" "Me," answered Emil, and was positively proud of it. "In the train while I was asleep. 140 marks.
That's money.
I was supposed to give the money to my grandmother here in Berlin. Then he sneaked into another compartment and got out at the zoo station. Me after him, of course, you can imagine. Then on the streetcar. And now he's sitting over there in that cafe with his stiff hat, patting himself on the back."
"But man, that is marvelous," cried the newcomer with the horn. "Just like a movie. And what are you going to do now?"
"No idea. Keep after him. That's all I know right now."
"Tell it to the cop there. He'll nab him for you."
"Oh, I don't dare. I pulled a stunt home in Neustadt. Not so good. And they're after me now. And if I..."
"I get you," says the boy with the horn.
"And my grandmother is waiting at the Friedrichstrasse station." The boy with the horn thought a bit. Then he said, "This looks like a swell stunt to me. Some class, I'll say. And man, I'm with you, if it's all right with you."
"That would be mighty good of you."
"Oh, cut it out, boy. One thing's for sure. I'm in on it. My name's Gustav."
"And mine's Emil."
They shook hands, well pleased with each other.
"But let's get going," advised Gustav. "If we do nothing but stand around here, the crook will give us the slip. Have you any money?"
"Not a cent." Gustav honked softly to stir up his thoughts. Honk, 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 honk. It didn't help. "How would it be," asked Emil, "if you got a few of your friends to help?"
"Man, the idea is superb," cried Gustav excitedly. "All I have to do is dash through the courtyards honking, and we'll have the whole outfit."
"Do it then, but come back soon," Emil advised him, "or else that thief over there will run away, and me after him, of course, and when you get back, I'll be out of sight."
"True enough, I'll hurry, count on that. Anyhow, the bozo in the cafe Jaste there is eating boiled eggs and such things. He'll stay a while. So see you later, Emil." "Man, I'm crazy about it. This'll be a humdinger." And with that, he tore off, honking his horn.
Emil felt wonderfully relieved. Of course, bad luck is always bad luck. But to have a few supporters who are on your side of their own free will is of no small comfort. He kept close watch on the thief, who was doing himself rather well, probably on Emil's mother's savings, too. And Emil had only one anxiety, that the man might get up and leave. Then Gustav and his horn and everything else would be of no use. But Herr Grundyce, the thief, did him the favor of staying where he was. If he'd had any idea of the conspiracy that was drawing around him like a bag, he would have hired an airplane, at least. For now, things were getting hot for him. 10 minutes later, Emil heard the horn again. He turned and saw at least 24 boys marching down Trutnow Street with Gustav in the lead. "Everybody halt!" "There, what do you say?" asked Gustav, his face all smiles.
"It's great," answered Emil and poked Gustav in the ribs in his joy.
"Now, gentlemen, this is Emil from Neustadt. I've already told you the rest. Over across there sits the pig dog who swiped his money. That one to the right on the balcony with the black melon in his beam. If we let that brother get away, our name is mud from then on. Understand?"
"But Gustav, we'll get him all right," said a boy with horn spectacles.
"That is the professor," explained Gustav. And Emil shook hands with him. Then the whole gang was introduced, one after the other. "There," said the professor. "Now we'll step on the gas. Let's go. First the money." Everyone gave what he had. The pieces clinked into Emil's lap.
There was even one whole mark piece there. It came from a very small boy named Dinestag. He was so excited that he hopped from one foot to the other, and he was allowed to count the money. "Our capital amounts to 5 marks and 70 pennies," he announced to the eager listeners. "The best thing to do would be to divide the money between 3 people in case we have to separate." "Good," said the professor. He and Emil took 2 marks apiece. Gustav got 1 mark, 70 pennies. "Thank you ever so much," said Emil. "As soon as we get him, I'll pay you back. What do we do now?" "Now it would be best for us to hold a council of war," advised Emil. "But not here. It might be noticed." "We'll go to Nickelsberger Place," decided the professor. "Two of us will stay here at the newsstand and watch to see that the fellow doesn't beat it. We'll appoint 5 or 6 as scouts who will relay the news. Then we'll come back on the hot foot." "Leave it to me," called Gustav, and began immediately to organize his intelligence men. "I will stay here with the scouts," he said to Emil. "Don't worry, we won't let him get away, and if you fellows speed up a little, it's a few minutes past 7 already. All set now, and step on it." He appointed the scouts and the others with Emil and the professor in the lead, and they all streamed off to Nickelsberger Place. The detectives assemble. They seated themselves on 2 white benches that stood on the grounds and on the low iron railing surrounding the grass plot and looked solemn. The boy who was called the professor had apparently been waiting for this day. He took off his spectacles and waved them around as his father, the judge, did as he sketched out his program. See, his father's a judge and his father makes that same motion with his glasses. So now the boy, the professor, is doing the same thing. Let's see. "There is the possibility," he announced, "that we will have to separate for practical reasons. Therefore, we must have a central telephone station. Which of you has a telephone?" 12 boys spoke up. "And which of you that owns a telephone has the most sensible parents?" "Guess I have," sang Dinestag. "Your telephone number?" "Bavaria 0579. Here, our pencil and paper. Crummelbeagle, make 20 slips and write Dinestag's telephone number on each one. But write clearly, and then give each one of us a slip. The telephone central must always know where the detectives are and what's going on. And whoever wants to get in touch will just call up the little Dinestag number and get accurate information from him." "But I won't be at home," said little Dinestag. "Yes, indeed, you will be at home," retorted the professor. "As soon as we are through with this conference, you will go home and attend the phone." "But I'd much rather be around when the criminal is caught. Little boys like me can be very useful at such times." "You go home and stay by the telephone. That's a very responsible position." "Well, all right, if you want me to." Crummelbeagle distributed the slips of paper, and each boy put his carefully in his pocket. Several of the most thorough learned the number at heart by once. "We will need something to eat," suggested Emil. "Perhaps a few of you could go home and bring back some sandwiches." "Who lives the nearest?" asked the professor. "Off with you, Mittensway, Gerald, Frederick, the first, Bruno. Scoot and bring back some eats." The 5 boys darted off. "You blockheads, you rattle on all the time about eating and telephones and sleeping out. But how you're going to catch your man, that you don't ever mention. You school teachers," growled Tragot. He couldn't think of a deeper insult. "Have you a machine for taking fingerprints?" asked Petzold. Perhaps, if he was very sly, he wore rubber gloves, and if so, there would be nothing you could prove against him. Petzold had been to 22 detective story movies, and you can see that they had done him no good. Yeah, the detective movies are not anything like real life. "You're simply moth-eaten," said Tregeau, disgusted. "They will just wait for the chance and come back from him the money he swiped." "Nonsense," objected the professor. "If we steal money from him, we'll be the same sort of thieves that he is." So, see, the boys guys, I know it gets a little confusing here, but the boys are talking about, should they just take the money from the thief? Should they just go up to him and, you know, there's more of them, they could just take the money back? But they're discussing whether that would be a good idea, whether that's right. If we steal money from him, we'll be the same sort of thieves that he is. Don't be funny, cried Tregote. If somebody steals from me and I steal back, I'm no thief. Yes, you are too a thief, the professor decided. Applesauce, murmured Tregote. The professor is right, Emile broke in. If I take anything from anybody secretly, then I am a thief, and it is all the same whether it belonged to him or whether he had just stolen it from me. All right, we're going to end the story there for a moment, guys, because we're a little bit out of time today. But these boys are hanging out trying to figure out how they're going to catch the thief. How would we get the money back from the thief without taking it back? I'm going to mull that one over. We've got some fun music coming up. Thanks for joining me.
There's this very nice girl named Jenny Jenkins, but she has this one problem. She can't decide what color clothes to wear. Somebody give me a color.
Red.
Oh, will you wear red, oh, my dear, oh, my dear? Will you wear red, Jenny Jenkins? No, I won't wear red, 'cause I'm not ready for bed. I'll buy me a foley, roly, tilly, tolly, seek a W's, a cause a rollify me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll.
Blue!
Oh, will you wear blue, oh, my dear, oh, my dear? Will you wear blue, Jenny Jenkins? No, I won't wear blue, 'cause it wouldn't match my shoe. I'll buy me a foley, roly, tilly, tolly, seek a W's, a cause a rollify me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll.
Yellow.
Oh, will you wear yellow, oh, my dear, oh, my dear? Will you wear yellow, Jenny Jenkins? No, I won't wear yellow, 'cause I'd look like lemon jello. I'll buy me a foley, roly, tilly, tolly, seek a W's, a cause a rollify me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll.
Brown.
Oh, will you wear brown, oh, my dear, oh, my dear? Will you wear brown, Jenny Jenkins? No, I won't wear brown, 'cause that'd make me frown. I'll buy me a foley, roly, tilly, tolly, seek a W's, a cause a rollify me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll.
Pink.
Oh, will you wear pink, oh, my dear, oh, my dear? Will you wear pink, Jenny Jenkins? No, I won't wear pink, 'cause I'd run down the sink. I'll buy me a foley, roly, tilly, tolly, seek a W's, a cause a rollify me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll. Oh, will you wear green, oh, my dear, oh, my dear? Will you wear green, Jenny Jenkins? No, I won't wear green, 'cause I'd look like a lime jelly bean. I'll buy me a foley, roly, tilly, tolly, seek a W's, a cause a rollify me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll.
And now it's your turn to give us a color.
Oh, will you wear, oh, my dear, will you wear Jenny Jenkins? No, I won't wear, 'cause I'll buy me a foley, roly, tilly, tolly, seek a W's, a cause a rollify me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll. So what will you wear, oh, my dear, oh, my dear? What will you wear, Jenny Jenkins? I'll just go bare with a ribbon in my hair. I'll buy me a foley, roly, tilly, tolly, seek a W's, a cause a rollify me. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll. Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll.
But what color ribbon will you wear?
Next, let's learn the signs to the chorus of I'll Be Friends With You. The first line is, I, friend, you. I, point to yourself. Friend, hook your index fingers right over left and then left over right. You, point to someone else. The next line is, my heart, always true. My, place your palm on your chest. Heart, spread the fingers of both hands with the middle fingers bent inward and trace a Valentine heart over your chest with your middle fingers. Always, point your index finger up and circle it around. True, bring your index finger out in a straight line from your lips. The next line is, you depend me. Sign you, then depend. Place your right index finger on top of your left index finger and press down and up. Me, point to yourself. The next line is, I hear. Sign I, and then here, keeping the palms up, circle your arms around. The next line is, I happy share. Sign I, and then happy. Brush the fingertips of both your hands up your chest. Then share. Place the little finger of your right hand on top of the index edge of your left hand, and then slide it back and forth. The next line is, if you want. If, touch your little finger under the eye. Then sign you, and then sign want. With the palms up and arms in front of you, curl the fingers in slightly,
while drawing the arms in toward the body. Then sign, I, friend, you. Now we can put these signs together with the music. Let's try it.
There's this very nice girl named Jenny Jenkins, but she has this one problem. She...
said. It went like this. Hello.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hello.
Where did you go? My echo. Yodel-odel-hee-hoo.
Hey, I'm not even trying that one. Too much work.
My echo doesn't sound like me. My echo doesn't sound like me. I haven't changed. I'm still
back with my family, only it was worse.
Hello?
See, my echo's broken.
Maybe not. Maybe you're a cow.
I am not a cow.
When was the last time you checked?
Hello?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hello?
Where did you go? My echo. Yodel, odel, hee hoo.
No yodeling. Oh, my head. It's so boring.
My echo doesn't sound like me. My echo doesn't sound like me. I haven't changed, I'm still the same. But my echo doesn't sound like me. It's not what it used to be. My echo doesn't sound like me.
What could be wrong? You're always yelling at me. You never asked how I'm feeling.
Oh, how are you feeling?
I'm okay, thanks for asking.
What do you want to do now?
Whatever you say is okay with me.
Anything I say?
Anything I say?
Oh.
My echo's with me all the time.
My echo's with me all the time.
It's because you're so nice.
It's because I'm so nice?
Hey, now you're echoing me.
Cut it out.
Cut it out.
Cut it out.
You're echoing me again.
Mom.
Mom.
Special when they sing together. They can sing all day. They can sing the night away. They can sing together. They can sing. Friends are special when they laugh. They can laugh the whole day. They can laugh the night away. They can laugh together. They can laugh. special when they cry together. They can cry the whole day. They can cry the night away. They can cry together. Special when they dream together. They can dream the whole day. They can dream the night away. They can dream together. They can dream.
I've had a good time with you today, sharing songs, rhythms, and rhymes, and dances, and games. Now it's time to go.
Shake hands with friends, it's time to go. Shake hands with friends, it's time to go. Shake hands with friends, it's time to go. I hope I'll see you another day. Someone else, shake hands with friends. It's time to go. Shake hands with friends. It's time to go. Shake hands with friends. It's time to go. I hope I'll see you another. Sing it with me. Can you think you can remember it? Shake hands with friends. It's time to go. Shake hands. Let's hear you. It's time to go. Shake hands with friends. It's time to go. I hope I'll see you another. Now a little louder. Shake hands with friends. It's time to go. Shake hands with friends. It's time to go. Shake hands with friends. It's time to go. I hope I'll see you another. Now guy's gonna play his guitar. Go. Shake hands with friends. It's time to go. Shake hands with friends. It's time to go. Shake hands with friends. It's time to go. I hope I'll see you another day. Thank you.
Sorry about that. I had to interrupt the Brady Bunch in order to come back and close the show because, yeah, it's time to shake hands. You know, we started the show with saying hello, and we're ending the show with it's time to shake hands and say goodbye. But thanks for joining me here on Amy's Kids Show. It was a wonderful show. I learned a little sign language. I don't know if any of you were able to. It would be worth listening to that song again if you can because after the second time that I heard it, I started to pick up on some of the key words. You know, being friend, you hook your two index fingers together, you hook them one way and then hook them the other, turn them back and forth. Friend and true, right? You put your index pointer finger up to your lips and push it out in space, true. And depend is you put your two pointer fingers, your index fingers together, up and down alongside each other. Depend, like they're pressing on each other. They depend on each other. And that's what friends do, right? And that's what we've been celebrating today is friendship here on Amy's Kids Show. And speaking of friendship, we've been learning about the mammal brain, which is all about friendship, right? And sticking together. And I think that today's story, Emil and the Detectives, by Enric Kastner was really perfect, right? Because here was this boy who was trying to help, you know, his grandmother. He was bringing some money to his grandmother that she needed for things, and it got stolen on the train by a man. And so what's this boy to do? You know, he can't go to the police. He can't get help anywhere else. He's hiding out behind a newsstand. And who comes along but the boy with the horn? Right? And the boy with the horn is able to go around and gather up all his friends. And then pretty soon, There he is. There's the boy with the horn, right? Pretty soon they've got a whole team and everybody has a role and people have special talents and they bring them together and they even share whatever little money and food they have and they make it work. And at the end of the story, I just want to tell you, we didn't have time to tell you. I didn't have time to read the ending of this chapter of this story. And here's what it says. Emil was almost happy that his money had been stolen from him. Why was he almost happy that he was even in this predicament? Well, because he was making all these great friends. And I hope that you are going to be able to get out there and make some great friends, too. It just seems to be a theme that we've had a few weeks in a row here on Amy's Kids Show about boys, you know, sticking up for family members. We had a boy who was helping his aunt from Boston a few weeks ago. So, you know, boys, girls, everyone who's out there, please, let's make some friends and let's stick together. Speaking of making friends, I have a couple of announcements, a couple of opportunities out there where you might be able to make some friends for sure at your public libraries. You see, the Cabot Public Library is offering Tales and Tales Outdoor Story and Activity Time. That's for all ages, and it happens on Tuesdays from 10 to 11:30 in the morning. And that's at Cabot Library every Tuesday. And a special program is also starting at Jaquith in Marshfield. They're going to be doing storytelling and improv theater camp. This fun and playful camp is a great introduction to theater and acting. Oh my goodness, that sounds so much fun. That's from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. for ages 7 to 12. And that starts in August, August 10th. So you have a little bit over a week to get ready for that one. I would definitely join that camp. That sounds like a lot of fun. And then, of course, in Cutler Memorial Library in Plainfield, we have D&D Tabletop RPG, which now I know what that means, Role Player Games, Wednesdays 3 to 6, June 30th through August 18th. I got all the announcements in today, guys, and I'm so happy that you're with me on Amy's Kids Show. You're a wonderful person. Go out there and share your wonderfulness with the world. You have special work to do, and it's going to be so much fun. All right, take care, guys. Happy Saturday.
I just hope I am the friend you are to me.
Maintaining live with WGDR Plainfield. This is Django from Tallgrass Get Down. Yeah, what's up? 91.1.